Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's what came into my heart as I listened to you play. That's a word that invites us into this time of worship, into this story of the prophet Elijah that we'll be considering together today. So we open ourselves to this time of worship, and it's my joy to welcome all of you who are present in this hour, whether you're joining us online or here in the sanctuary. If you're here celebrating Mother's Day with your mother, we're especially glad that you're with us and hope that all of us have a wonderful day together today. I would invite everyone to take a moment and register your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row on the center aisle. If you'll pass those down and back again, that would be wonderful. If you're worshiping online, there's a link there that you can place in the browser, and hopefully it will work. We've had a little trouble with it lately, but hopefully it'll allow you to register this morning. I wanted to share with you that this morning at the 8:45 service, we confirmed 6 of our young people into the life of the church and into the journey of faith, and their names are listed in the bulletin, and we would invite you to be in prayer for them as they join us on the journey as a church together. The affirmation of faith that we will be sharing later in the service was written by those confirmands, and so they contribute that to our service this morning. There are lots of announcements in the bulletin that I want to draw your attention to. Hope you'll take a moment to read through those. But now I'd like to invite Nancy, Jeff, and Liam Parker to come forward. We had planned to, at the end of the service, say a prayer of sending forth for them as Nancy goes forward to lead in a different congregation. But we totally forgot that Liam needs a nap. And so I'm going to be talking about naps a little bit later today, so we wanted to honor that need for him. But this family has been with us for over a decade. I guess Jeff came into the story a little bit later, and then Liam joined us a little bit later as well. But we have grown together alongside of you on this journey. And Nancy has been called to serve as the senior pastor at Hillcrest United Methodist Church. She begins a sabbatical this week that she had already planned to take. So this is her last Sunday with us. And we wanted to take a moment to pray and give thanks to God for her ministry and to bless all of them as they begin this new season of life together. So I'm going to invite you to kneel at the altar rail. And if there's anyone who would like to come forward and lay hands on them, especially if you've worked extra closely with Nancy or Jeff, and oh, good. Come on, Richard. And we invite you to come and lay hands on them on behalf of the whole congregation. This long tradition of the laying on of hands and blessing and sending forth in ministry. Come on up. All right. Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, you invite us to be on a journey with you and with each other. We are a pilgrim people following your lead in love and ministry in the world. And there are seasons of life when you bring us alongside one another to share life and ministry and service and growth together. And sometimes those seasons come to an end. Nancy has been called to a new congregation to serve in new ways. And so we take this moment together to give thanks for her ministry among us, to give thanks for Jeff and his ministry among us, and to give thanks for Liam and his beautiful life. We pray that as they go forward, they will know the love and blessings and prayers of this congregation. We thank you for the marks that they have left upon us, and that we, as we go forward, trust that above all things, you are with us, and you continue to be our guide on the journey. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's take a moment and give thanks to God for the Parker family. And now let us prepare our hearts and minds to continue in the spirit of worship.
Thank you. God who showed up for Elijah in unexpected ways.
May we sense your presence among us.
God of the thunder and the whisper.
Help us hear your voice today.
God who sends us to do your will.
May we follow where you lead.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and that God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Holy God, we meet this day just as we are, and yet we listen to your voice. Too often we fail to hear the gentle whisper through many other voices clamoring for our attention. When you call us to follow, to take up your cause, we make excuses or turn away. Forgive us, God, for the ways we miss or ignore your call. Forgive us for the harm we cause to others. Forgive us for the harm we cause to ourselves. Open our hearts to receive your word. May we be your people, your prophets, your disciples, your children, all the days of our lives. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we are invited to exchange signs of reconciliation and love. And you can do that in whatever form is best for you, a peace sign, a fist bump, a handshake, a text message. The peace of Christ be with you. the baptism of children. This morning, Sarah and Stephen Couchy bring their daughter before God and this community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Sarah and Stephen, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. And now, as you are planning also today to join this congregation as official members, Shannon, our pastor of Congregational Connection, will ask you the questions of membership.
As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you do, say, I will.
I will.
As members of the body of Christ in this congregation called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If you do, say, I will.
My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child and this family now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the waters of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. And what name have you given your daughter?
Claire Elise.
Claire Elise, I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you and sustains you all the days of your life. Oh, man. I know that water's kind of cold. I'm sorry. I want to move a little closer to Mommy and Daddy and ask them to lay hands on you and Pastor Shannon. And let's say a gift for the prayer for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Claire Elise, may the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, Miss Claire, you want to take a little walk? We're going to get a little bit closer to your church family. Let these folks get a good look at their newest family member. These are some special people out here, and they're going to make a promise in just a minute to help you learn about God, to help you know what it means to follow Jesus, to know that you are loved unconditionally and you always will be. Some of them are going to teach you Sunday school. Some may be vacation Bible school leaders, youth counselors. They're just going to surround you with love. So let's listen as they make their vows and promises to you.
Will the congregation please stand and face Claire? Now it is our joy to welcome this whole family into as brothers and sisters in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend to you Claire, Elise, Sarah, and Steve to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Claire, Elise,
and Sarah, and Steve.
And we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Lord, open our hearts and minds in the power of your Holy Spirit, that as these scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Old Testament. He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites had forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram." So he set out from there, and they found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There was 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12. Elisha passed over him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
there any children among us at this service who want to come forward? Come on down. We'll have a minute together. We had a big crowd at 8:45. I think everybody got up early to make breakfast in bed for their moms. Come on up. I'm so glad to see you. Welcome, welcome. I'm so glad to see you guys. So as you probably know, today's Mother's Day, right? So I've been thinking about my mom a lot the past couple of days. And I was remembering some things that both she and my dad taught me when I was little, especially when I was like 1, 2, 3, and 4, when I was really little. A couple of things. One, naps are important. Naps are good. I didn't always want to take a nap, but I was always glad when I did. And number two, eat fruits and vegetables. Eat good food that's healthy for you. Now, our parents tell us these things not to make life harder, but to be good for us, to help us take care of our bodies, because our bodies get tired and our bodies need healthy food. Well, Emma read for us this morning a story about a prophet named Elijah, right? He got to a point when he was really, really, really tired and worn out. And so he goes to be alone in the wilderness, and God meets him there, and God says, Elijah, take a nap. Elijah, have a healthy snack. And then, after Elijah had napped and had some healthy food, then God talked to Elijah a little bit more and reminded him that God was always with him, and then sent him back out to do his job. So that just reminds me that our parents want to do what's best for us, and God wants what's good for us too. So maybe this afternoon, you can take a nap and eat some carrots and celery. Let's pray. Gracious God, you met Elijah when he was really tired, and you invited him to rest and take care of his body. And in the same way, we thank you for the people in our lives who remind us to take care of ourselves, to get rest and eat good food. We pray that you will bless all of these things so that we can be stronger and we can serve you better and love our neighbors with everything we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm guessing there may not be many of you who are 3, 4, or 5, but if you are, you get to go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. Thank you so much for listening. So here's a question for you. You don't have to raise your hand or answer vocally, but just for you to think about for yourself. Have you ever been burned out? Have you ever gotten to that place or reached a moment in your life when you just felt like, I can't do it anymore? You've been hitting your head against a brick wall in one way or another, and things are not going as you thought, and you just get tired and worn out. Whether it's burned out in your job, burned out in trying to make a relationship work, burned out in the work you're trying to do for social change, burned out in whatever ways it might be, just exhausted and at that point where you think, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. Well, I know I have felt that way. And if you have too, then we're in good company. We're in company with the great prophet Elijah. Some would call Elijah the greatest prophet in all the Hebrew scriptures. He shows up in 1 Kings. He is a prophet, a spokesman of the Lord, a healer, a teacher, and a thorn in the side of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. He has been speaking truth to power throughout their reign, because they have turned their backs on the God of Israel. They're now worshiping the God Baal, and they're influencing all the other people of Israel as well. And Elijah is disgusted with their greed and their power hungriness and their idolatry, and he's never before been afraid to say it. In the chapter before chapter 19, Elijah challenges the prophets and priests of Baal, all of them, to a showdown on the top of the mountain. And you may remember that story. It would be a good one to read. But suffice it to say, God wins. The God of Israel wins. No doubt about it. It is a great victory for the God of Israel, a great victory for the prophet Elijah. But afterwards, Jezebel especially is livid. And she sends a threat to Elijah and says, if you're not dead by tomorrow. And for some reason, this great prophet who had been channeling the word of the Lord, who had witnessed and been a vessel of the power of the great God, the one God, gets scared and withdraws and runs into the wilderness. And so when chapter 19 begins, we see Elijah sitting alone under the broom tree. And he says to God, and this is a pretty close translation, just kill me now. I'm done. I cannot do this anymore. I am no better than my ancestors. I can't do this job anymore. Just end it all right now. So what's going on in Elijah's head? How has he gotten to this point? Maybe reading a little bit about his burnout can give us some insight into our own when we experience it. You see, he's got this story he's telling himself, this narrative, this tape that keeps playing. Maybe I shouldn't say tape. Some of you don't know what that is. The streaming dialogue that's going on. He keeps saying to himself, I am alone in this. All of Israel has turned their back on God, and I am alone. And now they want to kill me. That's what he keeps telling himself. I'm by myself. They want to kill me. I don't have what it takes. I'm done. So that's where Elijah is in chapter 19, this place of total loneliness and despair and depression and burnout, and he can't get up off that ground under the broom tree. And that's when God shows up. So let's see how God meets Elijah in that moment in the wilderness, in that moment of despair. Well, as I shared with the children, the first thing Elijah does after he's prayed this prayer, kill me now, is fall asleep. And God lets him sleep. God sends an angel, a messenger, to gently wake him up and give him a snack, little cakes, and a jar of cool water. And then Elijah goes back to sleep. He takes two naps. Or maybe he gets a full 10 hours of sleep. And the angel feeds him again. Maybe this is a reminder that God does want us to take care of our bodies. Even God rested according to the creation story in Genesis 1. Even Jesus pulled away from time to time to rest and reconnect. And so here God is allowing the prophet, the great prophet, to sleep and to eat some good food and rest. And then God leads Elijah deeper into the wilderness and asks Elijah a question. What are you doing here, Elijah? How did you get here? How did you get to this place of despair and depression and hopelessness and giving up? And that's when Elijah tells his story to himself and to God. I've been zealous for the Lord. I've been working as hard as I can, and nobody else gets it, and I'm all alone, and now they want to kill me. They're pushing back. I'm too afraid. I can't do it anymore. He says that twice to God. And God listens. And then God puts on a show for Elijah. And those are some of the verses we heard that Emma read. There was a wind and an earthquake and a fire. And it says God was not in those things. But I hear it saying God is doing those things in front of Elijah, perhaps to remind Elijah of God's power and presence, that God has always been with Elijah. Look at these things that God can do. And after all of those things, there is and it is in the silence that Elijah's drawn out of his cave just a little bit. And God asks him again, what are you doing here, Elijah? And even then, he repeats the same story. He's still got the tape running. And then God says a couple of things. After meeting Elijah where he is, allowing him to rest, allowing him to reflect on how he got to be where he is, the first thing God does is give him purpose again. Here's what I want you to do, Elijah. I want you to go and anoint Hazael as king. I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. I want you to get back out there and live into your mission and be who I've called you to be. I know you're afraid. I know it's scary out there. And it's okay to pull back if you need to for just a little while, but I'm sending you back out. And oh, by the way, you're not alone, God says. There are actually 7,000 other Israelites who did not bow down to Baal. You kind of missed the math there, Elijah. You're not alone. 7,000. And also, I'm going to give you someone special. I want you to go and find a young man named Elisha, and he will work with you side by side. He will learn from you, and when the day comes, the responsibility for all of this will pass on to him. It's not always going to be on your shoulders, Elijah. It's not, it never has been. But I'm going to give you a friend, a co-pastor, someone to work with in this ministry, to remind you every day that you're not alone. This morning, when we confirmed the 6 young people into the life of the church, after they said their vows and were welcomed as members into the church, their friends in faith took a stole that they had all made. Another word for that is mantle. And they put the stoles on the shoulders of the confirmands. It was a visual reminder of one generation welcoming a new generation into the journey, into the life of ministry. It's a reminder that what we do as a church is walk alongside one another on this journey of faith. And there are going to be times when some of us trip and fall, when some of us get scared and want to pull back. There are going to be times when some of us get it wrong and some of us sag and some of us get depressed and despairing. And we have each other, though, to remind each other, just as God reminded Elijah, you are never alone. And with God as the leader of our journey, we will have everything we need to encourage us and then to say, okay, let's get back out there. We've got work to do. Thanks be to God for meeting Elijah in the wilderness in that moment of burnout. Thanks be to God for meeting us just where we are on our journey and giving us each other and giving us what we need to get back out there. In Jesus' name.
In response to the word, I invite you to stand as we say together the affirmation of faith as written by our confirmation class. It's written in your bulletin. We believe in God Almighty, creator of all, who teaches us and helps us in tough times. We believe Jesus is the Son of God, a miracle maker, and the Messiah who was crucified and risen to save us from our sins. We believe the Holy Spirit is part of God and part of everyone, the bridge between heaven and earth and between God and us. We believe the Bible is our sacred text that contains the teachings of God and is worth reading, but is sometimes hard to understand. We believe worship is a chance to raise our spirits and to connect with God and people by singing, dancing, and praising God. We believe sacraments connect us to the church. Baptism affirms that we belong to God, and Holy Communion reminds us of the Last Supper when Jesus offered himself as body and blood for us. We believe God's grace is amazing, has a sweet sound, is freely given, and provides relief from evil. We believe the church is community committed to God, where we come to worship God and meet people and work together to help others. We believe serving others shows respect to God, shows respect to other people, celebrates our differences, and spreads goodness. We believe disciples are followers of Jesus and leaders who teach others, resist sin, do good, and love their neighbors. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral staff, you can click on Contact Us on our website if you're watching online, or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pews that you can fill out and then put in the offering plate as they are passed. We'd like to remember those who have had surgery recently and have surgeries coming up this week. So please feel free to share that information with the pastoral team so that we can care for you and pray for you throughout the week. And we also remember those who struggle with illness in its many forms. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, today we come before you much like Elijah, waiting to hear your voice. Waiting as we walk through a life full of blessings and uncertainties. We ask today that you would quiet our hearts, quiet our minds, quiet our spirits, so that we can hear your still small voice. For it is in the quiet that we hear. When the distractions are gone and all that remains is you. Thank you for promising to never leave us alone, but showing us day in and day out your presence with us. For those times that we forget your constancy, help us to trust. Your sustenance is far more than we will ever need. Let us rely upon the people you surround us with, our families, our friends, our coworkers, the still small voice of the stranger in the coffee shop. You are always surprising us by how present you are, and for that we give you thanks. In that spirit of thanksgiving, we lift up those things that sit upon our hearts, the things that lift our spirits, and those things that weigh us down. We offer them to you in this quiet space. Thank you for taking our burdens, for offering your grace, and giving us your spirit to guide us throughout our lives. Grant us better ears to hear and stronger hands and feet to act upon your call to live out our faith for the world to see. May the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be glorifying to you. And as we close out this moment of solitude with you, we speak with boldness the words you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in the community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you're welcome to give via the options listed in the on-screen chat. For those worshiping in person, there are offering boxes in the narthex and in the back of the sanctuary, as well as in the offering plates that are about to be passed. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves unconditionally.
That hymn was written by John Bode for the confirmation of his children. This morning, our confirmands made promises to follow Jesus. This morning, parents made promises for their child in baptism. This morning, we have made promises to this family, to the confirmants, to one another, and above all, to God. And so now hear the promise of God. You are never alone. God goes with you to provide for you, to send you out once again, full and fed and loved and rested for mission in the world. So go in God's presence and peace. Amen.